Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Today is August 31st, 2007. Here's Dove. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 14, Are You Sleeping, Christian? Wake up, wake up. Are you sleeping, Christian? Wake up, wake up. Hi, this is your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, trying to wake you up. Hello. And I'm coming from spirited North Minneapolis. As you can tell, I'm wide awake. Send me your comments, questions, suggestions at janine@pastorpaul.org or go to the blog spot. The blog is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com and there you will see the podcast. Also visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. As you know, you should by now, this is episode 14. Pastor Paul's mission is a not-for-profit organization. We're an organization. We have five people and we are organized. We're an organization. Try to spit it out, Janine. Come on. Organization providing lots of food, lots of love, and dignity to people in need. Write this down. Make a U.S. tax-deductible donation on the homepage. So for those of you who are not in the U.S., you don't have to make a U.S. tax-deductible donation. You can send me your francs, your yen, some of that Canadian money. Send that in, okay? You can make a donation on the homepage, and if you need to send us a donation directly from a Swiss bank, feel free. You can do that to make a direct bank deposit at our website, somewhere there in the 80 pages that I put together, Pastor Paul's website. Well, time to get on with the message. Are you sleeping, Christian? What a wake-up call. This message is so good, and it's very long. As a matter of fact, at the end of the message, you have to go back to the end of the message and just listen to that a couple of times. It is so good. At the end, he is just about to say, Jesus is the Son of God. And welcome to all of you new listeners from Chicago. I know you're listening. I know you have a Bible study to do for school. You young people that are listening, I won't mention any names, but you know who you are. Thanks for joining us. One of the things that struck me when I was listening to the message was originally recorded here. It was a while ago, and it's just so incredible. When you listen to Pastor Paul's messages, they're just so today. I mean, they are really timeless. This message was recorded originally in July. So it was hot in the summertime, 1983. That means that this was one of the messages I listened to on the radio before I went to Pastor Paul's church, Disciples Ministry Church in North Minneapolis. So in July of 1983, how many years ago? 24 years ago. Yes, 24 years ago. In the message, Pastor Paul is saying he's 50 years old, and at his age, people are starting to slow up and to quit. And here he is at 50. And then he goes on to say, well, when I'm 60, I want to still be awake serving the Lord. And he says, and even when I'm 70, I want to be awake. And he said, no one will be in my church that won't be serving the Lord. Today, Pastor Paul is 74 and as young as ever and serving people food daily himself. As a matter of fact, yesterday he was handling 100-pound potatoes, 100-pound bags of potatoes. Now, can some of you people out there picture yourself hoisting up 100-pound bags of potatoes, throwing them over your shoulder, and handing them to people when you're 74 years old? Okay, so are we talking about age as an attitude? I think so. Anyways, I am going to let you listen to the message. The message is, are you sleeping, Christian? Here it is.
Are you a sleeping Christian? Are you a sleeping Christian? I'm afraid we are in an age when the church has become sleeping. I'm afraid we are in an age where the church has become sleepy. An age of, let's say, complacent pew warmers. I don't see that here tonight. It's a hot night and the people that are here are here to hear. But we are definitely in an age of complacent pew warmers, bored from doing nothing, very little knowledge in the things of God, yet knowledgeable, but with no wisdom. An age where we are hearing very little of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it hardly isn't preached at all. An age of much building while we yet claim the end is just around the corner. If the end is here, it's right around the corner, and we start to get busy building. Always learning, but never coming to know Jesus fully in our lives through doing with Jesus. See, if you really want to know the Lord, you have to walk with him. And you have to get yourself involved with the work of the Lord. And then you start to know and understand the Lord. You get that full portion. You get that anointing, and you get that aliveness. Understand, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And so as your spiritual guide and the spiritual guide of many that listen to this tape, many that are listening to the radio ministry, as a gospel preacher then, it is my duty to point to every turning point, let's say, in the road to heaven. It's my job to point you in the right direction. It's my job, my duty, my privilege to tell you of the pitfalls, to speak then concerning its dangers or its privileges, and to warn those who are sometimes, let's say, on dangerous ground. Sometimes you minister to folks that are on dangerous ground and they become offended. Sometimes when you talk to your children, don't do that, you're going to fall. Oh, I won't fall. Ah! You know. Seems like it works a rebellion when you say don't, they do. And when you say do, they don't. But anyway, I have to minister that because you see it as my blessed duty to minister to folks. To folks who have left the center of the road, who have let some other gospel take first place and take a detour road. I think we've taken a lot of detours on the gospel road. Little branches, the little roads that go out. The claim to fame road. The legal law lane. The do it all, but do it moderately road. And I did mention that Sunday, and briefly I'll mention it again. Do all things in moderation. Well, when people say that, do they want to be saved moderately? Just enough so that you wouldn't notice it. But anyway, all these other gospels and all these other things are making sleepers out of people. And they sleep. They are dead-end roads, and there are sleepwalkers walking those roads. Born-again people I'm talking about. Filled with the Holy Spirit people I'm talking about. Sleeping. But I think we should get back on the track, because many of us have become sleepers and are slumbering. Many are lying down, I believe, on lukewarm beds of sleeping, and the church has very little zeal. And I'm talking about the body of Christ all over now. But I venture to say, if you go all over and you check it out, that there's very little zeal in the church. Why is that? I think the church has very little persecution. But I started to think, if she has very little persecution, she has something that's worse. Sleeping sickness. That's worse. Are you hearing it? So number one tonight, we'll enter in and we shall look at the sleep into which the Christians sometimes fall. Secondly, we shall attempt to wake up the slumbering saint. Thirdly, we shall look at the times when the Christian is the most likely and most liable to fall asleep. I'm talking about spiritually now. I'm not talking about your eyelid falling asleep, although that is true too, but I'm talking about asleep to the things of God. Lastly, then, we shall close by giving some advice on what to do when passing through, let's call it, Drowsyville. In that time when we're sleepwalking, in that time when we become dead and we're into a sort of a sleep, not a dead sleep, but a sleep. So I again mentioned that the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole is sleeping. Become drowsy, become content to do nothing. And of course, doing nothing is sin. So number one, entering in, what is the state into which we Christians may fall? It's not death. We cannot die because, you see, we can't die because we are made alive in Christ and we can never die again. So we will never die, and yet we fall asleep. We, let's say, sleepwalk. Spiritually speaking, we sleepwalk. We go from one task to another and on, and we sort of sleepwalk, and there's a sleep that comes upon us almost like death. Of course, it can't be death because you're born again, but it's almost like death. You can't tell the... You know, a carnal Christian is about the same as someone walking in the world. And so then the Christian becomes almost dead. Have you ever felt like that? How many have felt like that at times? Almost dead. And I think a lot of slumbering Christians can almost look like carnal sinners. And the first, then, the step is a state of insensibility. Not sensitive to the things of God. I think a lot of us, many times, are in that state of insensibility. We're not sensitive to one another's needs. We're not sensitive to the needs of the church. We're not sensitive to the things of God. And we become insensible, and therefore we are sleeping, the Bible says. Because after all, when a man in the natural is sleeping, isn't he insensible? He's not sensitive to the way you feel. He's sleeping. He's not sensitive to the way that you look. He is sleeping. And so it is in a spiritual sleeping. Spiritually speaking, that person's walking around, but he's sleeping. The world goes on, and he sleeps on, unaware. The storms blow, and yet he sleeps. He's unaware. Stock market crash could happen, but he sleeps. He's unaware. He's unaware of any, oblivious of all things. War could be declared, but you see, he sleeps on and on. Maybe his wife could even leave. Is he heartbroken? No, of course not, you see, because he sleeps. And so it is in the natural, and so it is also in the spiritual, that when we are not seeking after the things of God, we are sleeping. Well, they're not dead, but they yet sleep. They're still born again, but they are sleeping saints. You could find gold and yell all you want to. You could hand out diamonds. You could cook all types of food. It could be plenteous, and yet the man would sleep on. The world could be cracking in half. Does he care? No, he's not alarmed at all. You see, he's asleeping. That's what he's doing. He's asleeping, and that's the way it is in the Christian world also, in the Christian walk, when we fall outside of God, so to speak, and we start not dead, but we sleep. We slumber. Oh, my God. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Ooh. Are you hearing this? I'm telling Christians, and I'm asking Christians, I want to compel Christians to, what can I say? Look at their condition. I just called up to see what condition your condition was in. Are you sleeping? Are you insensible? And is that your condition? You wish probably that you could feel. Probably you're listening to me right now on the radio and you're saying, well, I wish I could feel, but I can't feel. And the only thing I really have felt in a long time is pain because I can't feel. And that is my pain, is that I don't feel, and I feel bad about it. That's the only thing I've felt in years. Probably you wish you could pray, but they fall flat. They're bloopers. They only go up about 2 feet and fall back to the ground again. You try and sing and you sound sick. Your praises are flat. Your testimony is dry and lifeless. Minister is the same. He gets up and preaches, has the same anointing, the same things are happening in that church. People are getting saved and so on like that. But yet there's something lacking. You know what it is? Christians are sleeping. They're not thrilled like they used to be when the anointing falls. They're not thrilled like they used to be when folks get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and someone touches on a person and they are healed by the power of God. No, they are sleeping, and a sleeping saint is insensitive. Just as a natural person is insensitive, so then is a sleeping saint. They have become insensitive to the great moves of God and they are sleeping. How will we ever wake them up? What's wrong? The ears have become waxed. You bring your body to church only. Your heart is somewhere else. Oh, we need to get out and to caution one another in the whole of the body of Christ that we need to come to church with our mind and our soul and our body and our whole person. Have your heart into it. But we many times have become formalists. The excitement then is gone. We have then a form of religion, denying then the power thereof. And we become insensitive to the needs of others, and we have everything, 1, 2, 3, ABC, and it becomes a bore and a drag. The excitement is gone. And first of all, then all over, and I'm talking to the whole of the body of Christ, you listening on the radio or tape in Africa, Sweden, Norway, wherever that you may be, don't blame the preacher. Because if you blame the preacher, the next thing you'll have to blame is the music. Well, I don't like the music. Next, you'll have to blame your friends. And next, you'll have to blame your family. What's wrong? You have fallen into a state of slumbering. When we're not alive to the things of God, and they don't touch us in our heart, we can be walking around, and we can be flapping our mouth, and we can have our eyes blinking, but we are not dead, but we are like dead, for we are sleeping. No, she's not dead, she's asleep. She's insensitive, but I'll wake her up with a trumpet. Christ sounded the trumpet, and she was brought up. Are you hearing this message tonight? You probably used to weep over the lost. Oh, my friend is lost. God, save her, God. Come and save her. Save him, oh, Lord Jesus. Come to them. Lord, I beseech thee. But now you could sit right at the pit's edge and hear people screaming for help, being at the flames licking at their heels. And you would not be moved one iota. What's wrong? You are sleeping, and you're insensitive to their call. Maybe even now you get annoyed at people that aren't saved. Oh, that's terrible. You listening all over, whoever hears this tape or the radio ministry, even here tonight, when we become insensitive to the needs of people, when we don't care that other people are hungry, need clothing, when we don't care that they have a spiritual need, when we don't lead people to Christ, there's something wrong. We are asleep. We are sleepwalking. Spiritual sleepwalkers, yet we walk around, but we have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and no one is saved, for we are sleeping, and we don't even see them, spiritually speaking. We know then people after the flesh. When we're walking after the Spirit, we know no man after the flesh. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Doesn't matter what they say. Has nothing to do with it whatsoever. We are out to see their soul saved, no matter what. Maybe some nights you used to wake up and had something inside the church. Maybe there was the Holy Spirit dealing with you to pray for friends. Now that's gone. Sleeping. We can hear about the perishing multitudes and say, oh yes, that's an old tale. The way it is, many are going to perish. That's not the will of God. His will that none perish, but all should come to have everlasting. You want to be awake, but you groan because you know this slumbering saint that we talk about tonight is you. And then also those that sleepeth are subject to weird illusions. What do you mean by that? When we go to sleep in the natural, all judgment leaves us. A carnival can be happening in your brain when you're asleep. Step right up, grab three balls for a quarter, throw, you know, a carnival attitude is in your brain when you're sleeping. You have no judgment. No judgment comes from you. Sometimes we dream of being rich. Sometimes we dream of great work for God, or we fantasize filth. Why is that? When we go to sleep spiritually, we're wide open for the devil to come in and have his field day. You mean that actually happens to folks? Oh, it happens to all of them. Amen, somebody. Oh, hey, I got stories of people that have the weirdest dreams. Well, what does that dream mean? Well, it means you're a sinner and you're saved by grace and God's trying to release you of something. Open up your eyes. You won't face it in the daylight, and God will give it to you in the night. If the devil gives it to you, agree with your adversary quickly while he is in your way, and let God release you from that thing. Oh, my. Not easy to preach like I do. The dreams will either take you to visit heaven or to visit hell. Strange thoughts come now, and you never have these thoughts before. You never had them before. You spiritually fell asleep. But now that you're falling asleep from inactivity, things are happening. You're being tempted by things you never were tempted by before. For years you haven't been tempted by them, and maybe never have been tempted by them, but now all of a sudden you're tempted by them, for you sleep. You have nothing to say about it. The devil can come in just like you were in the natural sleeping. So in the spiritual, as you sleep, he can come in and have a field day with you in your brain while you're walking around, just like when you're in your natural sleep and don't have nothing to say about it. When you're walking around, those thoughts will be there. Why? We sleep. From inactivity. No activity, you're going to get in trouble. Are you hearing this message? You're not active for the Lord, you're going to end up being active for the devil. Now, sometimes you even doubt God. I wonder if this is really true. I wonder if Jesus really is the Son of God. Born again, filled with the Spirit, glorifying God just a short time back, all of a sudden come into a sleepy attitude, pulling back, no reading the Bible, no praising God. Are you hearing this message tonight? But strange thoughts come to you now that you never had before. Wow. Is Jesus really the Son of God? Is this really what? Is this a real thing? I mean, I never had these doubts before. Sometimes you even doubt the gospel. Many times you find yourself dreaming lustful dreams. What's wrong? You're walking around. What do you mean sleep? I don't understand. Well, I'm talking about spiritual sleep. You're walking around, but you're not alive in Christ. And when you're not alive in Christ, you're dead. But you're not dead, but you sleep. For you can't be dead because you're born again, and a born again person can never die. But yet you sleep, so you're like you're dead, and the devil comes in, and he has a field day, just as if you were sleeping in the natural. He has a field day in your mind. Are you hearing this? And then here's one thing not to do. Don't get into a legal entanglement with yourself. Say, tomorrow I will do better. No, in the name of Jesus, you'll do better or you'll do worse. You've got to be alive in Christ, not alive in your own confessions of your flesh or what you're going to do. It's got to be Jesus. But anyway, perversion then takes over your mind. Thoughts like you never had before. 2 months before, you were talking about homosexuals. And now you're wondering how it is yourself. Why? When you're walking around and sleep, the same as you were laid out. You have them old weird dreams when you're sleeping. You're having them old weird fantasies up here in your head when you're sleeping in Christ. You're still in Christ, but you're sleeping. So now all of a sudden the devil tells you, you're not saved. And then usually two or three witnesses from the pits of hell will come along and agree. You say, well, that's confirmation. I'm not saved. That's a lie from the pits of hell. So now then you start to question your salvation. Or perhaps you daydream, sleepwalk, think of while you're walking but talking, seeing, yet sleeping while you're doing all these things, maybe you have a brighter outlook. And you dream you are somebody. Great, mighty, wonderful. A very special favorite up in heaven. You believe that your name is echoed off of the many spaces and regions of heaven by millions of angels. Oh, Joe Smith. Oh, yes, of course we know Joe. The great prophet. Wow, what a great person. And so thou dreamest that thou art rich and hast need of nothing, whilst thou art naked, poor, and miserable. Is that your state? Is that your state, Christian, listening to me? If so, may God wake you up from it. Also, I find that as I minister to the many that I've ministered to in my years, there is a sleep that is caused by a state of inaction. Now you sit down and you get all warm and comfy cozy, and you just sit there, you're going to go, in the natural now, you're going to go to sleep. Aren't you? And if you're just walking around and you're not glorifying God, you're going to go to sleep. Spiritually speaking. Oh my. Inaction. No daily bread, my friend, is earned by sleeping. Does the man laying down there in the natural earn anything? Does he? Does the person that's walking around but yet not dead, but sleeping, a form of deadness, does he earn anything? No. He's asleep in Christ. Alive in Christ, but asleep in Christ. Barely, but still breathing. There's a little pulse there. God won't let him go. Jesus has made a promise. You're kept by the power of God, but yet you're sleeping. You're not on watch. It allows your walk to cool. Because the man that sleeps in the bed tills no ground. And the man that spiritually is sleeping tills no ground for Jesus in the heart. He plants no crops and hangs his hands down Tom Dooley. Are you hearing it? He's dead. His hands aren't doing anything. Spiritually speaking, he's asleep. His hands aren't doing the work of the Lord. His mouth isn't doing any witnessing. His eyes aren't seeing the needs of the people. So wouldn't you say he's asleep? He isn't seeing things. He isn't hearing things. He isn't speaking things. He's asleep. Oh, no, he isn't. He's walking around. No, I'm talking about spiritual. He's just asleep as the man is in the natural. Because he becomes very insensitive to the needs of people. He's a sleeper. How many understand what I'm saying here? I won't go on. I'll go back if you want me to. But I want to. Do you think it's pretty simple the way I'm saying it? I think so. Oh, try to grab this tonight. Try to understand it. That the person has a pulse, that the person's mouth moves, that the person's heart beats, that his eyes blink, yet he is dead as to activity. He is not an active Christian. Therefore, he's not active. Therefore, he is sleeping just then as the man is that lies down in the natural. He's not active, so he's sleeping. He's inactive. And I believe that is the state of many. How many Christians do you believe are inactive? By the millions. Inactivity. Friday night TV has got a lot of them, I can tell you that. They just get comfortable with sitting down on their rumps and putting their feet up. And I don't know what's on TV on Friday night. I've never been home for several years, but I mean, whatever it is, it just holds their attention. They sit down with a great big tall glass of whatever, ice cubes banging up against their lips, and they end up even sleeping in the natural. But I'll tell you one thing I know. They are spiritually asleep. I would almost like to say dead, but that is not Bible. They're alive, but they're sleeping. They're not in tune to the things of God, and they're wandering further and further away and falling deeper and deeper into a slumber, and they're not watching, and they're not waiting. And pretty soon, the gospel of Jesus Christ just becomes another story. Then after they get good and sleepy, and they just get drowsy, I would like to say dead, I want to, but I can't. Then they go out and try to get someplace where they go, I'm going to go to a revival. Well, that revival's got to start right in their heart. They have to wake up. It's no good to go to revival if you're a sleeper. Right? What will you hear? You can preach your heart out and they won't hear. They are sleeping. They are spiritually sleeping. Oh my. What a dilemma the body of Christ is in. What a time that we must provoke one another to good works, get working and get busy doing things for the Lord, so that we wake up. But this is the state of many. How many Christians I believe right now, the light sets out. Say it again, I believe millions are inactive. Once you love to teach the young people, now you can't stand them. Once you were early to get up and early in the morning to pray and praise the Lord, but not now. Why is that? You're asleep. You can't make a person that's asleep praise the Lord. They're sleeping while they're in Jesus. That sounds impossible, but it's the truth. They're sleeping and they can't praise God. And they can't give their testimony. And they can't hear when you preach. Because they're asleep. And I'm talking about a spiritual sleep. So we can say amen at the right time. By force of habit. And we can go with our heads at the right time with a raise and fall of the voice, but we're sleeping. You know what? You ever watch somebody and you're talking to them and they're sleeping in the natural, and you say, isn't that right, Joe? They're sleeping. They don't hear you. Really? But they're really, really sleeping. You understand? And it's the same way when we're spiritually sleeping, you can preach your heart out and they don't hear it. They do not hear it because, probably they're not born again. I don't know. Did you ever try to talk to somebody that's sleeping? You hearing this? Yoo-hoo! You ever tried to talk to somebody that's sleeping? Then I went over here and I went shopping and we had a good time. Did you hear what I said? And then, did you hear it? And it's the same way with audiences. They are sleeping right in the middle of the anointing. They are off someplace. Let me say it, I'll say it again. I say it a lot of times, and I want to keep saying it. If you're not all here, you're not all there. If you're sitting here and your mind is outside, you're not all there. Because you're not all here, and ain't that nuts? To come someplace and put your body down and have your mind and heart somewhere else? That's like being married to someone that's thinking of someone else when you kiss them. The Lord don't want that, neither do you. Might even call out the wrong name. I beg your pardon, I've been married to you for 25, 35, 40 years. You're calling me by the wrong name. Wouldn't you say that person was asleep? I would. As far as I'm concerned, you're asleep. Oh, how I'd like to say dead, but it's not scriptural. Say amen, somebody. Well, you say, well, that's so, what an example. Well, I have to use examples like that to get the point across. That's what we do to the Lord when we're asleep. We don't call upon the name of the Lord. We call upon the name of trouble. Once you were probably a worker in the church, but now your only thing that works on you is your mouth. Don't you think when we should come to church, we should have an attitude when your body is alive in the Lord, when you walk into church, you better walk. You don't walk into church, oh, you know what I mean, and get in a little cluster over someplace. And I'm not talking about the church. I think we killed that. But from visiting to a lot of other pastors, I mean, people come into church gossiping and walk out gossiping. And then I said, and he said, and then I said, and I didn't think it was right. Did you? Well, I can't really say, but they're listening. A listener that's listening to garbage is just as asleep to the things of God as the one that's speaking those things that aren't of God. They are asleep, because if they were alive in the Spirit, they would say, shut up! I don't want to hear it. All right? Don't we do that in the natural even? When someone talks about your brother or your sister or your wife or your husband, say, hey, hold it. I don't want to hear that. And when you're born again, born of the Spirit, each one of us are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We got to stick up for our family. Am I making sense here tonight? I hope to God I am. How many are hearing what I'm preaching here tonight? I got to get me a pair of glasses so I can find my glasses. Oh my. Oh my, the state of many is inactivity. But for the very most part, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide is very much asleep and slumbers, is not watching and waiting. Where are, pray tell, the preachers of the gospel? Where are they? 15 minutes of how much we need money, and about 2 seconds of the gospel and the rest of what we're going to be doing the next year. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. There's more preached of the gospel of Calvin Klein jeans than's heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. Oh, are those Calvin Kleins you have on? Woo! 27 or 8 different fits. Wow! What'd you pay for them? $75. You are crazy. I'm earning nothing but fancy overhauls. Isn't that right, Dean? That's just the same old overhauls, isn't it? Sure, a Kathy, isn't it? Remember, we used to go down and get those at Sears. $298. They were great big old farmer overhauls. They were comfortable to walk in. Right? Yeah, put your fingers in the strap. They had pockets all over the place, and you could enjoy yourself in them. You can't enjoy yourself in the gospel of Calvin Klein jeans, and neither can any of you. But that's preached more than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that strange? Gets more time and more advertisement and more money spent on it. I think we should be busy with people's souls, not their backsides. Are you hearing it? How many hearing this message? Don't say amen, say ouch. Ouch. Maybe you won't like me when I'm done, but I'm going to give you the truth. My God, if preachers got to worry about everything they say, they wouldn't say nothing. If you can't preach against sin, well then, hey, you ain't got nothing to talk about. Have you? If I can't talk about salvation, what have I got to talk about? A fishing trip or something like that? Well, them folks are liars. They gotta be. But sleepwalkers, born again, yes, but sleeping. Some of them even come from seminary. Could call them cemeteries. and they are sleeping. They're not born again, and they take them into the school, and they pump all this into their head, and they are asleep. So you know what happens? They hear the letter, and it kills, but they don't have the spirit of it. So they walk out of there, whatever, that never amount to nothing ever, in the Lord. For they are asleep. I am surprised at the amount of messages I minister here in accordance to the gospel on the hundreds and thousands of preachers that have gone to the Lord. Isn't that right, Jim? Awful gospel preaching that have been to seminaries and they've been all that training and everything, but never got born again. Isn't that kind of sleepy? And then we have dead churches. I'm not talking about a sleeper, because a sleeper can be born again. But I'm talking about a dead church, because they are positively dead. Neither have they been born again. And the folks have to prop them up to the pulpit with guaranteed salaries and pensions and paid vacation. I started to think you might as well put a mannequin up there with a smile on his face and put a tape recorder there. That's as much good as they're going to do. Change his wig every once in a while for variety. Well, what's the difference? The people in the church are sleeping anyway. If they're not sleeping, they're dead because nobody ministers the gospel to them. They haven't given them the gospel trumpet in a whole long time. And I started to wonder, how about the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ? You don't hear that. No, you hear essays, wonderful flowery essays, and humanism. Now, anything that comes from a humanistic point of view needs a deodorant. How many know that? It's dead. Decaying, dying, passing away, the Bible says. The need of a coffin, badly. 6 feet of earth, if you will. And I started to wonder, where is the spirit of praying? So I'm going into this cafe I've been going into, and I'm praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, about six have gone to the Lord. Now, I shouldn't say about six have gone to the Lord. But it's the spirit of praise. God inhabits the praises of his people, not our innuendos in our conversation. Not our defeated talk, but our praise. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, sometimes. But praise the Lord. Anyhow. And God comes and inhabits the praises of his people, and it makes you alive in Christ. And today I said, oh God, I want that feeling I had there last Friday. I said, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but you know, I was over here and I was picking on this pork, and I know I do. I don't want to get into some kind of mystical thing and all of that. Yep! Ooh, wow! Dolores was standing next to me and I said, Dolores, the Lord is here! Start praising him! And so we start praising the Lord while we had our hands in that pork fat. Now don't go home and try that. That's not a formula for getting blessed. I wish it was, I'd be sitting in court. I want to tell you something, that feels good. That is a good feeling. Isn't that, Dolores? Did you get a little bit of that flash there? Was good, wasn't it? Oh, my. But where is the spirit of prayer? No, I'm talking about, let's pray. Who wants to pray? Come on, put your hand up. Who wants to praise and pray? When the group gets up here and we're going to praise the Lord, we don't come in. Okay, let's praise the Lord. Now, this is not a bank job. We're praising the Lord. He's not taking your money. Don't look so bad. You ask people to put their hands up. No way. Are you hearing what I'm saying here tonight? My God. Praise the Lord and mean it. And if you don't mean it, praise Him anyway until the Spirit of God falls all over you. It is the Spirit that will quicken your mortal body even though it's asleep and even if it isn't saved. Oh my God. Isn't that wonderful? You can have the most depressing day. And you can get in there and you can start praising God. Oh my God, I'm going to praise you. And you have to sacrifice to do it. Maybe your husband or wife is saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. I'm trying to hear this TV program. Go right on and do it. My God, it's so beautiful. But where is that spirit of rejoicing? Wherever did it go? Rejoicing, where art thou? Rejoicing. Are you in the piano? Are you in the tuba? Are you in, oh, I know, you're in the guitar. I'll bet the guitar has got the spirit in it. No, the spirit of rejoicing is in you. And when you play the piano, and when you play the guitar, it comes from you through the vehicle there. That guitar, or your voice, or your hands, when you mean to praise the Lord, and you start rejoicing. And again, I say rejoice. $45 for a half hour. People pay that for some psycho's head shrink. And all you have to do is get in there, brother. Start rejoicing. You want to. Put those hands up. Get rejoicing. Get going. Isn't that good therapy? Well, what's wrong with you? You're not giving to God. And you can't rejoice. You're bound up. You're caught up in mammon. I just can't. I got the house, baby. Mini gas goes after my case. NSP has pulled the plug on me. What am I ever going to do? Give. Give your way right out of trouble. God gave. He loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son and got you out of trouble. He did it as an example. He gave His life. Is your life $2.50? That won't buy you nothing anyway. Give it all to God and just shut up. But I started to wonder, where is that spirit of praise and power and prayer and rejoicing? And I started to wonder, do we have to have incentives for that? Do we have to come with testimonies of, it's almost like Amway. I got something to praise the Lord about today. Got a brand new Cadillac. And everybody clapped, but the guys also got the payment to go along with it. Pretty soon you don't see them in church at all because they got to have three jobs to take care of that stinking Cadillac. And you can't lose it because then people say, he didn't have no faith. That wasn't a God. He don't want that. How many are hearing this? I'll just say, well, that was not a God. I ain't going to work myself to death proving it. That was my stinking flesh. And my flesh is not going to go to three jobs. It's not quite that dumb. Are you hearing this? Oh. But where is it? Do we need something to give us an incentive, some kind of material junk, so that we can praise God? I'm rejoicing. I'm so happy. Why? I just inherited $10,000. And then after the $10,000 is gone? Huh? Do you have to have an incentive? Does God have to buy your praises? Does God have to buy your rejoicing? With material junk? A carnival? Are you against people having houses and cars and stuff? No. But don't just rejoice in that. Rejoice in the Lord. If you rejoice in your house, rejoice in your house, but rejoice in the Lord in your house. Tra-la. Are you hearing it? But it's almost extinct for people to praise the Lord when they're down.
No way. You never have to live with my old man. He is the meanest, most sarcastic, nothing. I am sick. I am fed up with him. Until he gets better, I'm not going to praise God. Well, you don't say that, but that's exactly what you do.
If he doesn't change, there's nothing to praise God about.
Well, praise God, you're not that way. Because then there'd be two of you.
But prayer and praise and power are almost extinct. Non-existent, if you will. How many of you are hearing this message tonight? You don't praise God because you praise God because you want to, not because he's going to give you something. You don't rejoice in the Lord just so, I'm rejoicing in you, Lord. See how happy I'm with you. Now give me something to keep me happy, or you know how I am. Like a spoiled wife. Oh my goodness. Well, it's the truth. Well, I never. Well, it's the truth. Do you understand what I'm preaching here tonight? I know you do. You might not agree with it. It might not be quite, you know, my mouth might not be safe right with God and all of those things. And maybe I didn't go to school, so I have the proper diction, and they teach you how to say God and angels and so on. But that has nothing to do with it. I am just plain folk. And I'm glad about it because I don't have to think about rejoicing. Let's see, what are the fundamentals of rejoicing? And we are taught out on how to rejoice, and a kid knows how to do it. Yippee! What are you happy about? The morning's here. The only time they have a bum trip is when they have to go to bed, but that don't happen with Christians, let me tell you. How many are hearing this? It's so basic and simple. Just praise God because you want to. But if you're sleeping, you can't. What's that you say? I said, praise God, and the person stands there. They're not hearing you. They're sleeping, slumbering, sluggering you out. They're not with you. Are you with it? Many times you preach to audiences and they're not with you. They're somewhere else. They are asleep. And I venture to say, even here tonight, folks have been woke up by the power of God. Hallelujah. And they are finally awake. And they're rubbing their eyes, spiritually speaking. Oh, what's all the activity about? What's happening? Now, what time is it? Oh, I didn't know. No, are you hearing it? So it can be done, can't it? How many are hearing this tonight? And then, of course, there is a man who is asleep. And that man is in also, I believe, in a state of insecurity. Isn't a man that's sleeping, isn't he in a state of insecurity? You could walk up and plunge a knife into him. You could walk up and shoot his brains out. Wham! Wham! Wouldn't you? You could murder him any old way. He's sleeping. He doesn't know. And that's the way the devil gets folks too, spiritually speaking. He tiptoes in. You don't see him because you have no spiritual discernment. See what I'm saying? Because you haven't been in your Bible and you haven't been praising God. You haven't been rejoicing. And you got into the prosperity teaching, and you got into the faith-claiming ministry, and you got into all that junk that's outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though there's a mount of truth in it, there's no whole truth in it, and it's taken people astray, and they cannot praise God unless God gives them something. You know that song, Please Give Me Something to Remember You By? God gave Jesus Christ. Oh, please give me something to remember you by. He gave his life. Isn't that something to remember him by? Well, the things that we want sometimes, rust and moss and decay dust grab a hold of. But anyway, here is a man that's insecure. Well, I'm just looking at these people now in the Bible. Joel kills the sleeping Syrian. Abner taketh away the spear from the holster of the slumbering Saul. Samson has his hair cut while he's taking a nap. Because sleeping men are always in danger, and sleeping saints, we are always in danger when we sleep. You'll get clipped. You'll get jacked. Of course, let me say this. Your life can be never taken from you because you're hidden in Christ God. But yet, you're hidden in Christ God. Talking about saints that are sleeping in varying degrees. Some are heavy sleepers, some are light sleepers. Nevertheless, you're a sleeper. Well, you can't be dead, and we know that. You're hidden in Christ and God, but just listen. You lose your weapons. You're working. Mighty pulling down the strongholds of the devil when you sleep. You can't do nothing. Seriously speaking, you're asleep. Can you pull down a stronghold when you're asleep? Or you can dream about it, but you can't do it. But oh, how you are robbed of the peace and the joy and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ when you are a sleeper. And oh, how the devil can molest your spirit. Molest, I said. Molest your spirit when you sleep. When you're not aware. When having done all, you're not standing. When you're not in position. When you're not actively doing things for God. Oh, how he can vex it. Oh, how he can get your inactive spirit. How he can rob you of your joy and your peace and your power. How he can substitute things and give you a nightmare in Christianity. How many know what I'm talking about is the very truth? Oh, hey, I've never heard nothing like that. Well, I'm giving you the truth. Well, how do we wake up these sleepy Christians? How do we wake them up? I just woke up one there. I seen him jump like everything. Huh? How do you wake up the sleeping Christian? No, even this won't do it, spiritually speaking. Oh, the drowsy. Whoa, what's all that noise? What do you want? Jesus says, yeah, I know. Hey, I'm born again. Leave me alone. I'm going to get into this too deep. You know, huh? What fun is it being a Christian like that? I don't want to get involved. Seems like every church I go to, they want to get me involved. Well, they believe in miracles. Oh, I said it and I'm glad. Are you hearing it? Oh, God. Ooh. How do you wake them up? Shall I yell fire? That won't get them up. They're sleeping. Don't you understand? When a person is spiritually asleep, you can yell fire all you want to. But one way to kind of wake them up is to say, work! That wakes them up a little bit, just enough to get out the door. And find a nice shady park to sleep in. Or maybe church! That might make a move a little bit. Are you hearing this message tonight? What do we do to wake them up? I believe there's so many Christians that have eaten so much of a spiritual dinner, and then they don't do any work that they become, you know, burping, pacified, inactive, sleeping Christians. I know the word, man. I'm in the word. Every morning I'm in it, and every afternoon, and I... They're overfed, and they're not working it out, and so they're no use, and when you don't do anything after din-din, what happens? You go to sleep. You have siesta time. Some people can come and actually hear the Word of God and just go to sleep the rest of the week. What good is it to be filled up with a spiritual dinner and then don't work it out or work it off? You become a 900-pound word hog. That's what's happened. Oh my God, how many inactive, yawning sleepwalkers are there in the body of Christ? Huh? I'm talking about spiritually speaking now. But whatever do you mean? I mean they are asleep and they're not hearing what you're saying. Saying. They aren't hearing you. They're asleep. But listen, God will save the meanest sheep. But anyway, if you want to be raptured in a feather bed, get up there into heaven, in a feather bed of inactivity, let's say, and get up there in your old sleeping bonnet with a tassel on the end of it, that's the way you want to go? Everybody else is standing up there in robes, and here you come with great big old sleepy slippers on, flopping into heaven. What's happening? But also, Christians, awake and slumber not, sleep not, because the Lord is coming. I mean, it isn't too far off, is it? Paul says, ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. Yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh. And listen, as a thief in the night, yet ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all, let me say it again, children of the light and the children of the day. Yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Though you are not, you are alive in Christ. And Christians, listen, the Lord's day is coming soon. Says in the Bible, it will come in such an hour as ye think not. It could happen right now. Wow. I believe we should start claiming Jesus Christ as Lord instead of claiming colored TV sets and microwaves and boyfriends. And Jesus, who once hung at Calvary, will come, it says, jewels. The Lord of Lords and the Kings of Kings is about to come. And even now as I speak, he's gathering armies. You think God is raising a standard up against what's going on down here? Oh my God, is he ever. Praise the Lord. Praise be his name. Are we to come against these homosexuals that have these AIDS? We come against their sin. We love the sinner. Hey, there's going to be pestilence like you've never seen before. I'm glad, but I don't know if it's true. Can a mosquito only bite once and then they die? Is that the life of a mosquito? How many? Does anybody know? Is that true? Is it? You work on the park board. Is that true? Once they hit you, they don't hit you again, huh? Why, do you tie little things on their legs to know for sure? How do you do it? Well, I mean, that's what they say, isn't it right? I'm glad because, you see, maybe one would bite you that had AIDS. He'd stick his needle in your arm. See, now we've allowed these things to happen. And we allowed them to get out of the way by not ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And who's trapped? Who's at fault? You can't blame it on the world. You can't judge the world. The world is already under judgment. You can't get mad at them. You can't say, you've caused this. We've caused it by not ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel unto salvation. Say amen, somebody. But praise be to the Lord. Where sin doth abound, much more does grace abound. God is going to raise up a standard against the devil like you've never seen before. God is on the move. Let me close this. He will come, it says, in the cloud. All of a sudden, there's going to be a blast of the trumpet. All that know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be raptured. Some are going to be sleeping. Not dead. Sleeping. What do you mean? They'll be in some kind of an off-state thing. Maybe they'll even be in sin, and that's sleeping. Now, any man say he'd be about sin, but I didn't know he didn't. So let me wipe that from your brain right now. What kind of a position will they be caught in while they're being raptured? With all the folks watching. And it says they will be changed and made like him. That's the way it's got to be. Maybe you'd like to be like the foolish virgins. Well, there was only, some of them were wise. Well, they were all sleeping. But some were sleeping the sleep of death. They didn't have oil in their lamp. Some had oil in their lamp. Them had the saving power, the anointing of God, Jesus Christ. While the others slept the sleep of death. If you came right now, I believe half of the Christian world right now would be in a state of shock, afraid to see him. Well, you'd hear doors banging and whispers. You'd hear people running and scurrying all over the place. Jesus is here! Oh, man, you'd see him running all over, wouldn't you? Isn't that like when a friend comes to the house and you try to sweep all your garbage down the basement steps? Quick, hide the Pepsi bottles! Hurry up, get that garbage in here! You kids get busy, move! They're in the driveway! What if the president was to be here Sunday? The president's coming of the United States. He's thrilled with our ministry. He wants to see what's happening on the north side in Minneapolis. Oh, we'd be working our fingers to the bone cleaning this place. It'd be the fastest reconstruction job you've ever seen. Money wouldn't mean anything, would it? No cobwebs. No dust, no dirty windows, shining toilet bowls, full rolls of paper, happy dust-free floors, and $4.98 worth of deodorant room spray. Oh, we can get ready for somebody famous, can't we? Not one hair of your head would be out of place. He's here. He's here. Oh, God. He's the president of the United States. Whatever you're going to do when the Lord comes. I'm telling you tonight, he can come at any time. At the time when you think it's not, are you sleeping? You wouldn't be sleeping in the natural if the president would come. Hey, Paul, the president's here. No. Would you? No. You'd have your best clothes on. You'd be in your best behavior. You'd be asking each other, how do I look? Shouldn't we do that with the Lord? How do I look to the Lord? How do I look to you? How do I measure up in my spiritual walk?
Well, for one thing, you're asleep.
Wake up!
Or will you be caught sleeping, born again? Sin puts you to sleep. The minute you sin, a Christian sins. The minute he sins, he's sleeping. He's put to sleep.
Not dead,
but he's asleep. A form of death. Are you hearing that? A prelude to it, if you will. And then closing here with the carnal Christian. Will you be found in the bar when the Lord comes?
Or will you be found in an X-rated movie when the lights go on? And Jesus is seen by everybody? Will you be sitting down there leering at some X-rated movie? Wham! The lights go on. No, we all know what's right and wrong. Inherently, we know it. And when the Lord comes, we're for sure going to know it. We sure wouldn't do a whole lot of things if we said the Lord was coming, wouldn't we? We'd be in our best behavior. No one would be gossiping. You'd all be walking around. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise be his name. Oh, praise. You wouldn't have time. Would we? We'd be so alive in what was happening with a spirit of expectation which has been lost because of people's sleep. Then you businessmen, you carnal Christian businessmen, maybe you own part of Minnegasco, I don't know. There's a lot of people who got stocks. Is it stocks they have in those things? I guess it is. I wouldn't have stock in nothing like that, would you? I don't think Christians could even buy into that kind of junk. They could buy into the Lord. Oh, let's buy this. That's going to go up for me. Get commodities and get this and that. Oh, yeah, and then you can give 10% to God. God don't want that 10%. That's blood money. Give them 100%. Now, listen to this. Would you like to have Jesus come and find you cheating someone? You devour widows' houses and for show make long prayers? Oh, it would be fine if he would come in the middle of one of your long, drawn-out publican prayers, right?
But not when you're repossessing someone's house. Not when you're repossessing someone's car.
Not when you're reaping in a harvest of money off of someone's misfortune, carnal Christian.
Wake up, you slumberers. The Lord is coming. Let's not sleep while souls are being lost.
There's a lot of people out there that aren't saved. Are you concerned? How many are concerned? There's a lot of folks out there that aren't saved. How many are concerned that there are souls out there that aren't saved?
There's some sleepers in here, didn't even hear me.
How many are concerned that there are souls out there that aren't saved?
Put your hand up. Did you only hear halfway, sweetie? Put it way up there. Oh, you say, oh, gee.
Well, hey, This is the only way. Otherwise, we're going to end up with sleeping Christians, aren't we? Aren't we? Preachers should be on top of things. Right? Are you really concerned that there's people out there that aren't saying, let's see you in church next Friday night or Sunday morning, dragging someone into the church in here to get sick? I was so concerned I drew two people in here. Look, they bit and they clawed and they fought, but I brought them in. I mean business. I'm really concerned. Are you? Well, then why is this church only half full? If that. How about your neighbor? How about mom and dad? Oh, I'm not here just to entertain. People think, oh, who's very entertaining? No. Not here to entertain. I'm here to give you the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to give it so that people will listen. They will hear. I'm not giving it in a long, drawn-out voice so that you'll go in the natural to sleep on top of being spiritually sleepy. That's a double jeopardy. Right, folks? Say yes and clap if it's the truth. Yay! Just leave that mic turned up there because we're going to get your audience response. People can see we're alive here in this church. Don't you think? Have you got it on, Don? Don, you got that microphone on? This one over here? He's on, huh? Someone sitting next to the radio. Probably a sluggard at 1:30 in the afternoon. No! But anyway, I think a preacher should preach so that it's interesting enough so people... I'll do anything so people will listen and wake them up. Don't you do that with your babies so they'll eat? Coochie, coochie, coo. Watch mommy with a spoon. Here comes the old fire in your... I believe a preacher should have that much concern also for the people. Here comes the word of God. Wake up, juniors. Wake up, juniors in the Lord. Wake up. We're going to have a spiritual feeding. Sometimes you feel like taking the oatmeal and plopping it on top of their head, but that doesn't feed them. You know what I mean? You feel like doing that in the natural. I know that. Right? Say amen, somebody. But does it bother you that there's people out there that aren't saved? Say it good and loud. Well, then, will you bring somebody to church with you next week? Don't shake your head. Say yes. Man, we're going to have a packed house. Praise God. Praise God. Now, some folks are so, I know they're not concerned about other folks because they're not here themselves. They aren't even concerned about themselves. And if they can't love themselves, how can they love the neighbor? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we got to get them concerned about themselves, that they're sleeping. You mean they're actually sleeping? No, if they're outside of what we're doing, then they're sleeping. You don't catch the devil sleeping, you know that? You think he's sleeping? But anyway, here it is in closing. Sleepy Christians, let me shout this into your ears. Are you sleeping while souls are lost? Are you sleeping and sleeping when men are being damned? Are you sleeping when hell is being filled to overflowing? Are you sleeping while Christ is being dishonored? Are you sleeping while the devil smiles at your sleepy face? Are you sleeping when the demons of hell are dancing around your sleeping carcasses? Well, there it is then. When is the Christian most liable to sleep? First, he is most liable to sleep, I believe, from experience when temporal circumstances are all right. How's it going? Good! Good, 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 good. Good, good. When temporal circumstances are at the best, when they're all right, that's when he's most liable to be found or fall asleep. I'm saying when your nest is full of feathers and fur and fluffy little feathers and you smack your lip and snuggle in the old nest. When you are comfortable, when your nest is full of feathers, you are more likely to fall asleep. Hell is just around the corner. Any cozy little corner. Don't get too cozy. That's when you're most liable to fall asleep, when you get cozy. When you can't understand why folks are having trial. Well, what are they having? What's wrong with them? Oh, wow, what, fuck. Now, there isn't much danger of you falling asleep when there's a great big briar bush inside that nest, is there? No feathers or no feathers or no wool or whatever, is it? No. When all is downy, then it is most likely you will say, so, so, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But it's the storms that alert us, and praise God, it's the tribulations that keep us alive, and it's the trials, hallelujah, that have us calling out for grace. For it's the easy loads that make us, roads that make us slumber, but tribulation puts us on the alert. If somebody stabs you with a pin, you're alert. When tribulation comes and stabs you, yow! You're alert now, brother. You're looking behind your back to see if he's back there again. Oh, no, you don't. And so we're always talking, well, hey, we don't have to have trials. We don't have to have tribulations. And don't talk about sorrows. Sorrows get you going to God. And then again, when things go well spiritually, in spiritual matters, we are liable to go asleep. You never read where a Christian went to sleep when there were lions running around, did you? Maybe once in the Bible. When tribulation came, or slander, do you sleep? Let me tell you, when you get slandered, you don't sleep. You start seeking God. And I've been slandered many times. On account of the way I preach for once. Because it hits right at the meat of the thing. And it's honest and it's open and it's the truth. Are you hearing this message? You don't sleep when you're slandered. Oh, what a day of slander it was. You're seeking God. Seeking God, I don't want this thing to go out as the truth, because it's going to hurt the cause of Christ. And if it's going to hurt the cause of Christ, well, then just take me out of here. I don't want to hurt the cause of Christ. But if it be your will that I take not this way, do whatever, Lord. Let your will be done. You are not sleeping when you're under trials and tribulations, and praise God for them, because it keeps you on the alert, for Christians are all cozy and comfy and lip-smacking and sitting in their nest, all feathered and wooled up real nice. That's when they get to be sleepy. Praise God that you're on the north side and it's an active church and it is moving in the things of God. You are not going to go to sleep. You come to these services, you're going to be awake people, I'll tell you. I ain't going to allow no sleepers in this church. Nah, just give me 5 more minutes. Can you give me 5 more minutes? There's a song like that, you know, 5 minutes more of your time. Give me 5 minutes more. Let me close it up, I promise. Well, brothers and sisters, if you're not tempted, there's something wrong. There is no temptation that will beset you as a temptation of not being tempted. You're tempted to do things when you're not tempted. And everything is going along fine and you're not tempted, it seems like you want to tempt yourself. If you tempt temptation, praise God for temptation, because it keeps you alive. When you know you're being tempted, you seek the Lord. But when you're not being tempted, that's when to look up. That's the biggest temptation of all, isn't it? Why am I being tempted? Is there something wrong with me? I used to have, you know, sexual desires and things. Am I some kind of a weirdo? Huh? Say amen, somebody. Praise God. God knows what he's doing. He says, you will have trials and you will have tribulations. And Jesus himself, God, was tempted on all points. Oh, but that's too negative. Don't teach people that. I'm telling you like it is. How many can say amen to that? Because a distressed soul does not sleep, neither does it slumber. It's only when we get overconfident that we fall. Be careful when you think you can that you fall. And then here it is, and I promise. There is no season, I believe, in which we are more liable to being liable and likely to fall asleep as when we're on high enjoyment. On your way up here! Be careful. Do you remember? When they were at the Mount, the disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration, and when they were on the spiritual high. But then just a short time later, when they came down the mountain and they went into the garden, they all fell asleep. Oh, we've seen it all! And that's how Christians are. When they know it all, and they've seen it all, and they're at the mountaintop experience, and they've seen God, Moses, and Elijah, they've seen this great thing, and then they say, well, hey, I'm on the inside. And they go to sleep. Don't ever think you're too high in God. That's when you're most vulnerable. Take heed when good times come, because they are dangerous. You ever wonder why God doesn't just pay this building off? Oh, God, just pay it off. And do this. When the right time comes, he may. But God, do this and God, do that. That might be dangerous. We might not have anything to go for. If all the groceries were just dumped in here and we didn't have to go out and scatter ourselves all over looking for groceries and get on the phone and stay up until the midnight hour, where would be the challenge if every rich man in town says, well, I'll give 9,000 pounds of this and I'll give 10,000 pounds of that. How much cash does it take to go along with it so that you can give it out and you should have a fair wage and everything? Oh, that wouldn't be no fun, would it? And it would be dangerous. But now we're busy about the Father's business, and we have to go out and gather up. We have to get on the phone, and we have to be desirous to do things for God. And there's deadlines to meet, and there's Wednesday when you got to get that bread out there. And there's, like 150 people waiting on the corner for you. Now you got to get it out there. Then Saturday comes, which is tomorrow. You want to stay tonight and pack bread? Take you about 5 minutes. Can you give me 5 minutes of your time? Fine, thank you. And like myself, I'm winding down. I'll go another, if the Lord cares, if the Lord would wait. I'm 50 years old right now. I'm in the Lord. I get to be 60 and I start to get a little complacent. I'll let the young man. And I get to be 70 and I sit down and I say, well, it's for the younger man. Well, I'm not going to be a sleeper. I'm going to be up here preaching. If I was 90 years old, I would be able. I would be up here. I would thump it. I don't want to be caught.
You know, I was just, I'm getting old, and kind of hard for me to stand up there.
stand by the power of God and stand by the grace of God. I have literally been healed several times by obeying God and coming up. I have been healed. But anyway, people like myself and my age bracket, that we become routine. We become, every sermon is the same. The music becomes there, dead, and the prayers become the same, and the praise has a duty effect to it, and a ritual, if you will, effect to it. And preachers must get it on, and they must start to preach Jesus Christ. Yes, they must. And they must preach that you must be born again. They must preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they must say, yes, that there is evidences of the Holy Ghost. Would you like to have a new language? And do you want to get into a move of God? And do you want to praise and pray? And do you want to see a move of the Lord? And I finally come to the conclusion, I'm going to take all my people and the ones I minister to, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel unto salvation, I'm going to put them right underneath the cross of Christ, where they will not be able to sleep. For across the yawns of eternity will Jesus be yelling, unto thee I commend my spirit! You can't sleep under the cross. It's finished! You can't sleep under the cross. Today, you will see me in heaven, in paradise. You can't sleep under the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You can't sleep under the cross. That's where we must go, to the cross of Christ. That's what we must preach. Christ crucified, buried, rose again, hallelujah. The power of the gospel unto salvation. And people might not like it, but it'll stir their hearts every time they hear it. Jesus is the Son.
There you go. Are you sleeping Christian? I'm sure at this point you're wide awake. What a message. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Be sure to visit us at www.pastorpaul.org. You can make a tax-deductible donation on the homepage. You can send me your comments, questions, or suggestions to the podcast, or anything else that you'd like to talk to me about. Send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. Also, the comment line is open. It's an audio line that you can call and make an audio comment. Don't be shy. 1-715-808-0318. Call the comment line. It's just like leaving a message. I will air your message during one of our next podcasts. I would love to hear from you. Keep in mind that staying awake, God inhabits his praises. He inhabits our prayers. So find yourself falling asleep. Start to praise the Lord. Start to pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for somebody else. You can pray for me. I always need prayer. Thank you for joining me. And until next week, God bless you. So